as you, yeah, we were talking about that. Mend and make do kind of philosophy that was kind of going on, which has been quite integrated in your practice, and probably quite similar to a lot of people in that generation. And just from a moment to go back to Philibrook Row, because you were sublet in some of those rooms to different artists, and you mentioned Sheila Whittaker. Who were the other artists?
Well, the first thing to say is most of them were not artists.
Okay.
And in a sense, that was what was different about the house, that pretty much everyone apart from Sheila was not an artist who would sublet or use the room. So originally there was the Canadian accountant, whose name I forget. And then for a long time there was a journalist who worked in South London for Labour Research, Ali Brown. I think she stayed for about 4 or 5 years, and she had a boyfriend, Steve, who was in actually who worked for the Workers' Education Association, but in Portsmouth. And so he used to come up every weekend, and you know, we'd do a lot of things together. So there was that. That was nice. That community. I always liked the idea that, you know, my circle of friends weren't just artists, but people from all. It suited my philosophy anyway, I think. And then Ali moved out, and they moved to the other side of Leytonstone and adopted a young kid and moved in together. That's something that they'd wanted to do. Lost touch with those two people. And then after that, a variety of people moved in, friends of friends, friends of friends from Red Wedge, that sort of thing. Neighbours who, you know, didn't want to stay in that house anymore and moved in. So there was a guy called Omar who often drove everyone mad, and he lived for about 6 months in Philibrook Road, and then moved further up Philibrook Road and actually appropriated a house towards the end by the car park, and then moved his girlfriend into what was where he lived, and that all got rather complicated. But she was very nice, Jean, but Omar was a bit of a nightmare. And then Jean became a flatmate, and then a number of people moved in and out, and it became quite a fluid kind of existence. Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting. Because there was me, and there was then two flatmates at any one time. Kath's old studio, as well as the spare room as well. And almost a microcosm of Philibrook Road in general, because each three of us would have our own set of friends that we'd invite round. There'd be communal dinners, you know, Summer Jean was a nurse from Thailand, so she had people round. And then, you know, Dave had worked in Brick Lane, had friends round, etc., etc. So yeah, it became really nice, and that continued. And then at the same time, there was an artist called Kitty from, I think, 179 Philibrook Road. I'm sure there are various ventures that artists embarked on, but she had this idea of running a summer school in Yorkshire. She knew someone whose dad was an arms dealer but left her lots of money in his will, so she bought a big house in the Yorkshire Dales that she let out to community groups. So me and Kitty and Steve Malahan, who was my flatmate's boyfriend, we set up this summer school in Yorkshire, which is, you know, the various ventures that you try out to earn a bit of money here and there. But, you know, just working with people that are around you, it's just very pleasant.
And then also, like, say, the other artists, because you knew Pete Owen, didn't you? And
yeah.
Sheila Whittaker. So when did you, I suppose you Was it like you got to know them when Sheila moved in?
Yeah, that made, yeah, because yeah, you get to know your flatmates' friends when they move in. So that was nice in itself as well.
And what about sort of other artists in the area? Was you kind of aware of what they were doing and so forth? And
yeah, I think, you know, that you sometimes gravitate towards artists that are similar to the way you work. So occasionally go out for a drink with Julian Perry, who painted in slightly similar style to the way I did. Perhaps, you know, he was the most similar. Apart from that, you know, the piece of people who were closest to tended not to be artists at all. The person I was closest to, John Bissett, was an artist, but is now a musician and was doing that transformation at the time in Philly Brook Road. And we, you know, we're very close friends. And
what transformation?
From being an artist to being a musician. Okay. So there was a period of about a year or two when we'd have this regime, we'd, you know, both have our studios and we both do art, and then we meet for lunch and we'd take it in turns to cook lunch and then we'd go back to work. And that seemed to work well for both of us. So all sorts of little interactions
that, yeah,
were nice.
And also, I mean, going back to the works that you did at Wapping, some of those pieces were purchased, weren't they, purchased for collections?
One for a private collection, one for the music, a couple for the Museum of London. Actually, Museum of London have two pieces. One, the M11 protest, a watercolour from that period. And another, a watercolour from the Wapping dispute as well.
Okay, so those little ghosty images, they've got one. So could you sort of tell me about how that all came about? I mean, did the person from the Museum of London visit your house, or, you know, how did it end up there? And
As always, you know, word of mouth. I think someone else had got, I think Julian actually had got the Museum of London to buy one of his works. I think he's probably better at self-publicity than I was. I mean, pretty much everyone is anyway, but he told me about it and gave me the name of the woman who was, you know, in charge of you know, buying young artists' work, and I gave her a ring. She came around and bought a couple of works, so it was just simple as that, really.
And do you know, can you remember, like, roughly at the time how much they purchased them for?
I think it was £200 for two watercolours. So, yeah, so below the market value, but then if you get stuff in public collections, that's different.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sort of running out of steam here, but that tape recorder's just gone off. But I'm just sort of thinking, is there anything that you feel you haven't said to do with that time? Maybe we should stop.